This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run, and you're with Julian Ng, Wong Xiaoning, and Sharitz Abdullah. Coming up in about half an hour's time is The Breakfast Grill, and Xiaoning, you're going to speak to Juan Azagiri, who's CEO of the ASEAN region for Principal Asset Management.
Yeah, he's a Chilean native with 30 years of fund management experience, and we're going to discuss the challenges and the outlook of the fund management industry with a little deeper dive on this wave of merger and acquisitions.
Okay, interesting. Stay tuned for that after the 8 a.m. news. The Breakfast Grill is happening. And we have a poll running today as well. Do you think there should be penalties for not voting in the elections? And the options are yes, no, don't know, don't care. Make sure you tell us why. And go to our poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, last week marked the third anniversary of the Brexit referendum, and we're still not close to any form of closure. While the UK is in process of figuring out who will be the next Prime Minister, the impact of Brexit is still too early to tell, and there are some patterns that are emerging, according to the think tank in UK, A Changing Europe, that is studying its outcome. So to find out more about this, we speak to a senior fellow at the UK in A Changing Europe, Professor Jonathan Potters, who's also a professor of economics and public policy at King's College. Good morning, Professor. What is your current assessment of the Brexit impact on the UK?
Well, in economic terms, Brexit has not had the disastrous results that some people forecast, but it has had a significant and broadly negative impact. So the immediate result of the Brexit referendum led to a very sharp fall in the pound, which in turn pushed up inflation and led to a reduction in real wages and in economic growth. So that did some damage. But there wasn't a panic in financial markets. And on the whole, the economy, and especially the labor market, has held up quite reasonably. There's been no recession as yet. So the estimates are that overall, Brexit has probably hit the UK economy to the tune of about 1% to 2%. Since the vote. Now, of course, Brexit has not happened yet, so that in itself only tells you the impact of the uncertainty that has been caused by the vote, rather than any actual changes in policy. Of course, the impact of Brexit on British politics has been much more severe, and we are still in a political crisis, which began immediately after the Brexit vote and shows no sign of ending at all.
And speaking of impact, you have a report that rates performance in four areas: the economy and public finances, fairness, openness, as well as control. Now, which of these areas have seen the most significant impact?
Well, on the economy, the impact has been a significant and negative, but not, I would say, huge. I think perhaps the most interesting impact is on openness, where although policy has not changed, we have seen a very sharp reduction in immigration from EU member states to the UK, as well as some increase in immigration from non-EU states to the member to the UK. So the UK has become, in practice, quite a lot less open to immigration from other Europeans, although somewhat more open to immigration from outside Europe. We've also seen quite a large fall in investment, both foreign investment and to some extent domestic investment, and an increase in money flowing out of the country to invest in Europe, as well as any greater increase in exports. So there has been quite a big impact on Britain's external economic relationships with the rest of the world. On fairness, I think the really disappointing thing is that we've seen very little impact. One of the hopes of many people was that the Brexit vote would lead to a refocusing of political and economic attention in the UK on some of the issues that led indirectly to the Brexit vote: inequality, regional divergences between London and the rest of the country, and so on. But really there, nothing has happened. In fact, we may have gone backwards on some of these things then, and that's a big disappointment.
What are your key takeaways from the report?
There is a very strong consensus among economists that the UK will be worse off as a result of Brexit. That doesn't mean the economy will actually shrink necessarily, but we will be somewhat worse off than we otherwise would have been. Growth would have been slower. Now, there's a huge amount of uncertainty about how big those impacts will be for two reasons. First of all, we don't know what sort of Brexit we're going to have. So a no-deal Brexit would have much more serious economic impacts than what is called a soft Brexit, where we preserve most of our trading links with the European Union. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty in any economic projections and forecasts anyway. So it's very difficult to put figures on this, and the estimates vary widely from a small damage to the UK economy of perhaps 1 or 2% of GDP to a much more significant hit of over time up to 8 or 10% of GDP, depending on the nature of Brexit, what happens after Brexit, and of course, given the uncertainty in forecasts. So the bottom line is that it's quite likely that Brexit will have a damaging impact on the UK economy, but there's a huge amount of uncertainty about how large that will be, and that depends very much on the political and economic choices we make over the next year or two in particular.
Now, what are your thoughts on the future PM?
Well, it looks highly likely, if not certain, the next PM will be Boris Johnson. That is an indicator of the depth of the political crisis we're in, since I think there is a general consensus, even among conservative MPs, let alone the country, that in many ways Boris Johnson has some personal characteristics which do not particularly suit him well for being prime minister. He was certainly a failure, as everyone knows, as foreign secretary, and he has a degree of opportunism and inconsistency, which I don't think most people, regardless of their political views, think is a great characteristic for a prime minister. So the fact that he is the leading candidate, I think, tells you something about the political crisis we're in. But also, of course, going forward, he has made himself a leading candidate by being a proponent, effectively, of a no-deal Brexit. Now, whether that will actually happen or not depends, because it's not clear that there will be a parliamentary majority for that. But it means that we are heading into a period of crisis and uncertainty.
And that was Jonathan Portis, Professor of Economics and Public Policy at the School of Politics at King's College in London. Actually, I find it a very surprising prognosis, because there is no panic yet. And while he's saying that the economic impact is significant, we're not seeing the kind of like implosion as some of the Remainers are talking about.
Yeah, I'm surprised the pound is actually not weaker than it currently is. And despite the property market having gone down quite significantly, and you do have news of like the major banks moving their headquarters out of London to, let's say, Germany or Netherlands, markets actually seem rather resilient in UK. Mm. But of course, I think maybe the tough part is yet to come, when they actually get down to like discuss the nitty-gritty of the deals and the things like common borders.
Yeah, and what's interesting is also that concern over immigration. Now, as much as they are less open at the moment, they are seeing, well, I guess, bigger number of EU immigrants not coming into the UK, but instead they are bigger number in terms of those who are coming from the non-EU countries instead.
Okay, the other news is talking about England and all things UK. Uber is going to soon face a fiercer competition in London from India's Ola. Ola has just been given a license to operate in London. It will launch its service in September.
Yeah, so the Transport for London has given Ola about a 50-month license. It would have to seek renewal in October 2020, though. Competition in London taxi market has been intensifying for the past year, and you know, other companies like Captain, Viavan and Bolt, they have also entered the market to take on Uber. But Ola would be the biggest new entrant since Uber.
Now, Ola shares a key similarity with Uber in that it also counts SoftBank as one of its biggest investors. It has raised $3.8 billion since it was founded in 2011. And as of May 2019, it was valued about $6.2 billion. Now, in India, Ola has a lead over Uber. Globally, it has 1.5 million drivers.
So I think this is very interesting, because this is part of the long hand of SoftBank's Vision Fund, right? They bought into Uber and Grab. And while the introduction of a new entrant in London would promote competition, which is positive for consumers, you can't help but think whether there is a carve-out by SoftBank, which is what they did in Asia, represented by the exit of Uber out of Asia, right? So now we just have a Grab in Southeast Asia and in China. You have Kuaixin, who's now the main player over there.
Well, I don't know whether they'll do the same thing. Launch Ola there, then eventually close it down, right? And then in the end, that Uber gets this even bigger market share from whatever Ola has created. Well, it'll be interesting to see, because this e-hailing thing is for all companies, still not profitable.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, if you go for that kind of old-fashioned thing.
I'm an old-fashioned investor, Julian.
But at the same time, I mean, just to bring it back home, whether or not, we see other companies going into these countries like England, in London, whether or not now they're with the new regulation that is going to come into place, whether there are going to be more e-hailing companies coming into Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in London, it would be hard to do a carve-out because you attract the scrutiny of regulators who will accuse you of monopolistic practices, especially in such an international city like London. All right, coming back with local news, and we'll look at the local player for e-hailing in Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.